This week's episode is brought to you by Below the Fold.
Oh God, one more podcast?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another bonus episode of This Eastern Time. I am one of your hosts, Maz Khan.
And Maz Ali.
I've got my very enthusiastic co-host, Maz Ali, here as well. Maz Ali, how you doing, man? It's been a while.
It's been a minute, man. It's funny because I feel like for as long as we've been doing this now, I can still never get that timing right. I either jump the gun. No, I don't either. I always jump the gun way too hard. And I gloriously interrupt you, but I'm good, man. I miss you.
And there you have it, folks. We have it on the record. Maz Ali jumps the gun. I miss you too, man. It's been a while. It's been some time since we recorded and put something out there, but
yeah.
We owe it to our fans. We've missed you guys as well. First and foremost, we really want to thank everyone for tuning into season one. We've been overwhelmed with the response and feedback we've gotten, and we're very excited about that. Definitely looking forward to putting out some more content for you guys very soon. Be on the lookout for that. But it's just good to be back. And this week we're talking about something that I think is awesome. It's a very relevant topic to this time of year, and that is iconic duos in Bollywood history. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to be focusing on a few particular ones, but I think that there's something to be said about how the couples, you know, their presence on screen, the chemistry that they have between each other, mm-hmm. and really just the larger-than-life relationships that they embodied. It made us fall in love with Bollywood as much as any other aspect of it, but it also kind of affected us maybe on a psychological level in ways that we didn't even realize. What would you say to that?
Spot on, 100%. Yeah, no, I think that throughout the course of time, since I've been watching Bollywood, absolutely, like, you have a certain, I guess, structure and blueprint mentally on how society works, on how gender norms are, how relationships are supposed to work. And then as you get older, they continuously change. Obviously, for one, through personal life experience, you start realizing, okay, maybe this is not how things are actually supposed to be. But, I mean, you and I, the reason why we do this podcast is because Bollywood was huge in our lives. And for many, many of us, if you grew up watching, you know, Bollywood movies, a lot of this framework is developed because, you know, of these movies and the Indian silver screen. So to say that it psychologically affected us is maybe an understatement, but here we are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, to put it in perspective for people who may not be as familiar for these, you know, couples and stuff that we're going to talk about, think about tabloids, think about like Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt, right? When they were dating, when they were younger, and how like they're split. Think JT and Britney, like think about the famous couples that kind of split and just how much, like, we still think about those two as being intertwined, you know? And that's kind of how Bollywood is in the sense that, like, it's larger than life, you know? Like, whatever you see on screen is what you think about all the time when you're thinking about that person. You associate certain people with each other. And I think what we're going to start with today is one of the most iconic couples of all time, even though they didn't end up together in real life.
Let us hear it.
And this is Amitabh and Rekha, right?
So, mom and dad.
Mom and dad.
Ami and Abba. There they are. Yeah. No
and
joke.
I think that, you know, you'll see the way we've broken up this episode. For me and Maz, you know, we grew up really in the 90s and the early 2000s. And Amitabh and Rekha to us were people that were, you know, they hit their primes right before we came up in the world. Yes. So we always saw them as like classical actors. Mm-hmm. And the roles that we saw them in were very classical roles from 70s and 80s.
Right.
Would you say so, Maz?
100%. Yeah. While they were in their prime, we were mere zygotes. And when I say Aminabha, like literally I have to say, and I think I mentioned this before in this podcast, but my dad looks just like Amitabh and my mom looks just like Rekha. Like my mom has the whole part down the middle, long jorti, long like hair braid going on. So when I say Amitabh, but it really does feel that way. And that leads to a perfect segue because they were in this time, their love stories and the way they were portrayed as male and female was indicative to how society at the time, or at least the older generation, the generation before us, our parents' generation, at least that's how they, at least that's how they viewed love as, right? The more machismo man, yeah, the more machismo man, slicked hair, whatever he says goes, damsel in distress and distressed women. And, you know, Amitabh and Rekha, yeah, they were probably the prime example because they were the two hottest actors in that time. But there's a plethora of other couples during that time frame that depicted this as well. And, you know, obviously, we like you guys to be interactive, and you guys have been super awesome on Instagram. I love your guys' comments. Your guys' questions are hilarious. But, yeah, comment and let us know if there's anyone that we've missed out on. We please would like to hear it. But, I mean, That's at least the first thing that comes to my mind. Wouldn't you say, Maz?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that you've touched upon one of the things, right? Like, you're saying that your dad and your mom look like Amitabh and Rekha. Well, I will say that that my dad in many ways acts like Amitabh. So, you know, I think you're right. Like, back in the day, there was this kind of idea that the man was going to be super macho, very much in control of what's going on around him.
Exactly.
He controls his destiny. It's like the manifest destiny idea, right? Like, you really speak it into existence. And you see that with pretty much every, you know, actor around that time, but especially so with Amitabh. And really, it's why he became such a crazy big actor, was because, you know, his whole thing was, I'm always in control. And I'm always, even when he's the bad guy or the guy who's wrong, like think like movies like Deewar, where he's clearly the wrong brother, or the brother who's, you know, the crazier brother, and Shashi Kapoor is the one who's in the right.
Right.
He's still justifying it in ways and that make the audience believe that he's the one that they need to root for.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that generation is very kind of in line with Amitabh's basic character. And then, you know, you have Rekha, and she, I think, embodies a lot of women from that time that grew up in India and Pakistan, you know, in the Indian subcontinent, who watched these movies, because they really were like, it was almost, I hate to use these words, but, you know, it was a very subservient kind of like almost like a second class within the household female.
Right.
Someone who was just there to, you know, be wooed and be loved. And that's pretty much it. There wasn't a lot of substance there. And unfortunately, you know, that's how Rekha got treated in real life as well. You know, there was a lot of rumors, whether they be true or not, you know, no one will ever know, but of infidelity in Amitabh's marriage with Rekha. And, you know, no one ever really gives Amitabh flack for that, but you often hear about how Rekha was that woman who tempted him, et cetera, as if he could have, you know, it takes only one person to tango, and it wasn't also his fault.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was a different time entirely. I mean, it was, you know, boys will be boys, like, that's totally fine, that's just what a man does. It was accepted, right? And I mean, a clear example of what Amitabh and Rekha were, I mean, just look at Salaam Ishq, right? That song where Rekha's in all pink, she's just singing and dancing for the group of men, and, you know, she has her eye on Amitabh, who's just drinking himself to a drunkard, just laying sprawled out, all limbs buttoned down all the way to the navel, chest hair hanging, not a damn, not a care in the world, just doing his thing. And we loved it. That's what, you know, a lot of songs were like that. And it's funny because we obviously mentioned mom and dad, but, you know, I think growing up for me, when I was going to school, and when I would see my other, like, white friends and whoever, anyone that was, I guess, like, not brown or anyone that watched Bollywood, when I would see their parents, like, meet, I mean, I would see them publicly kiss and hug and show affection. I mean, that was a big thing for me, because I was like, wait, what? Like, what are they doing? And I think a lot of us grew up with our parents, like, you know, not really showing that because they just felt like that wasn't appropriate to showcase in front of their kids, right? So there is this element of this couple and these couples, even like Amitabh and Rekha, who we just knew that they were together and they were the it couple. But to some degree, because they didn't get too deep into showing affection and showcasing, you know, public smooches and sex scenes or anything like that, they just kind of were a couple that just was there. And that's for what it's worth. I mean, that's how we felt like our families were. Like, we were just there. Like, we just popped out.
You know, it's interesting. Like, and also, like, okay, another aspect of that I think I kind of realized later on is, our parents don't like to do as much adventurous stuff as us. Or maybe this is my in my house. But my parents are very mm-hmm. much just like, we're okay with like seeing some nature, being like, okay, this is cool. Okay, then let's go eat at a Pakistani restaurant and call it a night. You know, like that's yeah. kind of like how every vacation was for us, right? Like
right.
Even when we left the house, we're not eating at, you know, a steakhouse. We're going to a Pakistani restaurant. We're not very adventurous. And I think I think back to those movies and the songs and whatnot. And really, you're right. Like, it was just like them being there. I think the most iconic Amitabh and Rekha song is Dekha Ekha Khwab To Ye Silsila.
Yes.
Right? From Silsila. Which,
yep.
Which ironically is about, you know, Silsila literally means affair.
Yep.
So I think it's ironic that those two would be in a movie called Affair. Uh-huh. But you know, like my mom used to like, oh, those tulip fields are so amazing. That's like what I want to do. Like, I'm making her sound like a terrible, you know, like terribly bichari, but
mm-hmm.
it really was like that's pretty much all there was to go check out cool stuff, but not really do anything adventurous. And I think as times have evolved and more has been shown on the silver screen, we're seeing more and more adventurous stuff. Like Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara has like, you know, all this stuff about like skydiving, deep sea, scuba diving, like
right.
all these things that I think to our parents would have been like, ha, we're never doing that.
You yeah.
know? So I think it's just interesting how an entire generation can be influenced by something like as material as cinema. Like it's so clear to me now mm-hmm. looking back how much. And we talk about it on this show a lot. We talk about how things, we don't even realize how these things influence us. But, man, relationships in Bollywood, they defined entire generations.
Straight up. And, no, I you reminded me of when our family would try to do something adventurous for, like, dinner or whatnot. We would typically go to any desi restaurant, okay, like, to go eat, right? And then on occasion, there's that one time where we're feeling super adventurous and super American. It's like, ooh, let's really step out of our comfort zone. And that destination was Chili's, my friend. We would show up at Chili's. All of us would order a garden burger and call it a night. And that was it. But it also, to your point about how, you know, nowadays we see like Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara, where they're going scuba diving and doing all sorts of different like adventurous things. If you notice too, I mean, look at the roles that Amitabh did, right? Amitabh did Don. Amitabh, and you know, he was a double role, a villain, a you know, a mafia Don. And then we have, you know, Kalia, where he plays this extremely like intricate character where he's totally like innocent and good guy that's from the Gaon in the village, and then he ends up going to jail, and then he becomes corrupted, and then he becomes a badass and comes back and just kicks like everybody in his village, the oppressors of his village, is like butt. That movie hilariously like glorifies jail, so it's like I saw it the other day. I was like, what? This was a childhood flick for me, so that is within and of itself another thing. But I mean, the women in the roles, right? They were either sort of like his item number E role if they were feeling, you know, if they wanted to feel a little like spicy and be that way. Like Parveen Bobby was a lot of those roles. Zeenat Aman was a lot of those types of roles. But other than that, they were always these bholi bhali women, especially Rekha, case in point, that really didn't rock the boat too much. And, you know, these movies were also taken over by, you know, the male presence as well, right? Which, again, furthers our point from, you know, what we were talking about earlier, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I guess that brings us to, you know, maybe the next couple and the next time frame, because you're right. Like, the way that these people were portrayed, it really was indicative of how Bollywood and, to a larger extent, society on the Indian subcontinent and people who were immigrating to the U.S. for the first time,
mm-hmm.
how they really viewed gender roles and men and women and the relationship between them. So let's talk about the era that we grew up in, right? So after the Amitabhs, Dharmenders, etc., and, you know, the Jaya Bachchans and the Rekhas and all those women, you know, kind of gave way to the new age, and we had... I mean, whenever anyone talks about the 90s, they're really only going to talk about, and couples from that time in Bollywood, there are only going to be two names that come to mind. And those are Shah Rukh and Kajol.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were the iconic kind of couple in Bollywood. Again, not a couple that ended up together in reality, You know, they've been on many, many shows and talked about their friendship and how close they are to one another.
Right.
But, you know, Shah Rukh has been married to Gauri for many years, and Kajol's been married to Ajay Devgan, another Bollywood actor, for many years.
Yeah.
But they always had a chemistry, per se. I don't see it. I think it's really annoying, you know, that Shah Rukh always had to have Kajol with him. Because to me, she's always been the one that is the most annoying.
Yes.
But everyone else kind of thought that they were, like, perfect for each other. And so they ended up coming to movies together a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They were like the Mighty Ducks couple of Bollywood. I don't know. They were kind of like the comeback kids. Especially Shah Rukh, right? Like, I think we were so used to seeing these machismo characters, and don't even forget the interim between, right? Like, we had Amitabh, and then we went to Shah Rukh eventually, but we had, like, Salman Khan, we had Jackie Shroff, we had Sanjay Dutt, who are still these, like, machismo men,
right,
that were trying to just flex and take their shirt off whenever necessary, and it's always necessary, but it was starting to become a little stale. And then we have Shah Rukh Khan, who, again, established himself as a complete badass, as a villain, showing up in all these roles, and then he becomes this sweetheart, like a comeback kid, like the guy that you're rooting for because he just can't seem to get that it girl, right? He becomes that guy that so many people, I mean, I don't care who you are, I think everybody at the end of the day, whether we like to admit it or not, can relate to that. Because everyone always feels like they're the underdog deep down inside, right?
Everyone likes to be an underdog. And I feel like you're right. Shah Rukh really came in on the scene. And now we're seeing men who are not as sure of themselves, but instead have kind of like all these issues. And I think, you know, you often hear people talking about like he's an F-boy and girls just want to fix him. But girl, you're never going to fix him. But, I think this is where it all started, is in the 90s in things like Bollywood, where there were these guys who there were clearly, you know, playboys or whatever on screen, like bad boys. Mm-hmm. And the girl was always the one who you knew was like kind of correct, we'll say.
Yeah.
Is the right word? Like,
yeah.
She could see things for what they were. And she was always encouraging this hero to like not do stupid stuff. But of course, he's going to do it because he's just a bad guy until pretty much the end of the movie when he finally figures it out.
Yeah.
So definitely, there's definitely some kind of undertones of gender roles and how men were viewed and how it definitely changed from being the machismo guy to being an idiot, but like a well-meaning idiot. It's not his fault. He's an idiot.
Bumbling, you know? Idiot, yeah.
Yeah.
Such an idiot. You eject.
Yeah.
Yes. anyways, so I think that's a good place to take a quick break. MozCon,
yes, sir.
And our fellow trusty listeners, we're going to take a quick break now and hear from this week's South Asian Spotlight. We'll be right back after this message.
See you guys soon.
Mwah.
This week's episode is brought to you by Below the Fold.
Remember back in the day when you would flip through the newspaper for the sake of flipping through the newspaper? Discovering tidbits of information and learning about the world around us. Living in today's digital world makes that seemingly impossible. Today, we have someone in the studio that's trying to fix that. Welcome, Anam Hussain, the creator of Below the Fold, as well as the producer of Desi Standard Time. Anam, tell us more.
Thanks, Maz. It's different being on mic with you versus just helping you guys behind the scenes.
True.
But yes, during the day, I do have a job, and part of it is creating this newsletter called Below the Fold. And you're exactly right. Today, it's super difficult to, quote unquote, digitally flip to page 2 news and see anything that's happening beyond just the trending headlines. And so we have an editorial team at my startup that digs through the trenches of the internet, finds those important stories, and packages them up into a weekly newsletter delivered right to your inbox.
There you go. And I'm obviously a subscriber. And thanks to Below the Fold, I actually learned about the Afghanistan Papers, which was a 7-part series that revealed all of the insights about the unsuccessful war. Yeah, I was shocked that I hadn't heard anything about this until I got that email.
Yeah, you and all of our subscribers. So that particular week was the same week that a lot was happening with Trump's impeachment inquiry. And so every news outlet you went to was just covering the latest, oftentimes irrelevant updates related to that inquiry. And so our newsletter tries to go through and find what is not being discussed in the headlines and what's actually really important for us to know happening in the world. So whether it's the Afghanistan papers, sex trafficking during the Super Bowl, or fireflies not being able to mate because of pollution and different lights that are affecting their ability to see. There's a lot of important things happening, and we want to keep you informed.
There you go. Well, thank you to you and your team for keeping me informed.
Of course.
Now, how can everyone else do the same?
Just head to belowthefold.email.
Check it out, y'all. Rah!
Welcome back, my peoples.
Hello.
Hi. What a do. Welcome back, everyone, back to This Is Enter Time. The bonus episode is happening live. It's happening now. You all need to listen. Open up your ears. I'm sorry. I don't know where this Brooklyn accent just came from. We was just talking about Shah Rukh and Kajol and how they were the new wave of relationship norms, I guess, if you will, into the 90s. We were talking about how with Amitabh and Rekha, it was a little bit more damsel in distress. The woman just fawned over the machismo man who went and did whatever the hell he wanted. And then we were starting to see this shift where the guy needed to be a little bit more corrected, and he had a little bit more depth to him. He's kind of troubled, right? And these women kind of had a little bit more of a backbone. And oftentimes you saw them become a little bit more of this supportive figure for that actor to even lean their head on. And then that's when we see, hey, like, you know, then you saw some depth more so into these actresses as well. And, you know, we like to mention that Kajol was the kind of the main person that was kind of taking on these roles, you know. I think at the end of the day, only because she was mostly with Shah Rukh. Wouldn't you say so, Maz?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that in the 90s, you know, and this is going to segue very nicely into our generation and how we kind of view romance and relationships. But, you know, I think that the 90s were the first time that you began to see the chase, right? And we're all in it for the chase kind of thing. And, you know, whereas back in the 70s and 80s or even 60s, men were just like so enshrined and thought of as like these demigods in a way of like someone to fawn over. And, you know, as long as this guy like smiles and comes into the room, every girl is going to want to be with him.
Yep.
Almost like a James Bond-esque type, you know, persona. As we transition into the late 80s and 90s, we're starting to see women as the ones who are like the objects of everyone's attraction, right? They're not just sexualized material objects anymore. Now they're actually people that people should be pursuing, meaningful pursuits rather than disposable pleasures. The words of Vesper Lynd from James Bond, actually.
Wow. There you go.
I don't know where I pulled that out of.
Attaboy.
So it became like this thing, right? Like, yeah, the guy's got to... he's got to chase the girl. He's got to get her to like him. And, you know, I think about like Shah Rukh from Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. One of the, you know, funniest characters at the beginning of that movie. He's a total playboy. It opens with him giving like a friendship bracelet, quote unquote, to every girl that he's hooking up with in the school, which of course is like every girl. He's got like an armful of bracelets.
So tight.
And then there's this new girl in school, Tina. And Tina is like, she's very well read. She's super cultured. She knows the national anthem. Like, she's got it all. And she tells him to basically shove it. Like, I love how that is, like,
that
the
minimum
level. That qualifies
as, like, a quality girl. She knows the national anthem from heart and back forwards and backwards.
For those who haven't seen, which I don't know why you're even, like, what you're doing with your life, you haven't seen Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. Or as my boy Yusuf calls it, Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. And even he has seen it. He doesn't even understand anything, but even he has seen it. Like, everyone should watch this movie, but literally the way that Shah Rukh tests Rani Mukherjee to see if she's like worth his time is he's like, oh, sing the national anthem and then I'll believe you're like somebody. And then he like walks away like, nah, she can't sing it. And then she whips it out, obviously in the voice of like an angel. And the whole school is just like, damn, she served you up. This girl is a real deal. And apparently that's all it took in the 90s to be like A1. Just know the national anthem, period.
Holy crap, I forgot about that scene. That is incredible. Damn.
Incredible. Standards have been raised since then, I feel like.
She probably got straight.
I had to do.
She probably got straight Fs. Still, it didn't matter. She knew the national anthem. Oh snap! Here's a new one.
Did I mention she was a principal's daughter? So she definitely got straight A's.
Yeah, she actually didn't need
what
to.
She did.
Yeah, for real.
Yep. But yeah, so it was that idea that like men should be chasing women, and sure enough, I mean, in the 90s, I feel like this is a thing, right? I know I grew up in that kind of context where every girl was just like unobtainable. No matter what, and like I had to pursue it. There was no chance that a girl was going to be pursuing me. It was always going to be the other way around.
Yeah, 100%. I think there was an element of those girls that we probably pursued, like in that time, we probably needed a little bit more element of Amitabh to be a little bit able to, because otherwise we were just like, what do you mean you don't love me? And like that was it, right? And we hid behind AIM. An instant messenger to do all this. And then like once we came to and actually talked to them, we were just like, what? So, I mean, in our heads, this chase is like happening so beautifully. The girls that we're probably pursuing, zero idea that we even liked them because we just didn't even know how to communicate that. But yeah. that comes with many other things to go with. But yeah, I mean, touching upon that, like Tina, I love how, first off, I want to commend you for even seeing this sort of substance in Tina just because she knew the national anthem and she was the principal's daughter. But yeah, I mean, but you start seeing other roles as well, right? Like Madhuri and Anjam, right? She's a cop and a Khalnayak, right? She's an undercover cop. Just those are the two examples that came off my head. But yeah, you're starting to see a lot more, I guess, like renown, if you will, roles for women.
Just logic. Like yeah. These girls are like logical. Like think about like Hamab Ke Hikon, right? Salman Khan is painted as like this goofball idiot, but Madhuri's painted as like this suave, sophisticated, mm-hmm. very well read, very well spoken, like woman of the house. Yeah. And I think that that's just how, and it's funny because their older brothers and older siblings go back to the old kind of archetype of, you know, his older brother is like super machismo, doesn't say much, just oozes. Arrogance, significance.
Yes.
And, you know, her older sister is just like, she's all about the seva. Like, she's all about just like serving the household, making sure that everyone's like happy and just like doing all things that require other people's. Like, she's very unselfish. So it almost goes back to that exact archetype that we talked about with Amitabh and Rekha's generation.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's wild, man. Yeah. I mean, and then
that movie includes both of the relationships that we're currently discussing in the same time frame. With the same age groups.
Yeah, exactly. And then anytime like you did have a movie that kind of showcased a man like how, you know, they were depicted in the 80s and 70s. I mean, that movie was an immediate flop and people were just like, oh my God, get the hell out of here. Like what's going on? Those typically ended up being my favorite ones because they were just so bad. And you know, I have a weird fixation for just watching terribly hilarious, you know, Bollywood movies, but that's my own problem. And, you know, this is very cathartic and therapeutic, and thank you for hearing me out. But
welcome. thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Yes, thank you.
So after, you know, and I think that, you know, anyone who's listening to this podcast right now and wants to share a story about how the 90s Bollywood, like, ruined your romance life, basically, like, turned you into a dweeb who felt like you had to pursue women, or women, if you, like, were pursued by a man but you didn't know you were being pursued, please, you know, we'll put up a post, share those stories. We'd yes. love to hear them and talk more about that, because I think that we could die. Me and Maz could honestly talk for like 3 hours about how 90s Bollywood has ruined all of us emotionally.
Yeah.
In a way, at least to an extent. But
right.
We're going to move on. We're going to come to the modern age, the modern day. And we see couples and gender roles and the way they pursue each other evolve once again. And Maz, if I had to ask you for the couple that defined this generation, mm-hmm. what would you say? Who would you say it is?
I would have to say, let's see. I would say Arjun Kapoor and Sunny Leon. No? No takers here? No? No one?
I was like, oh man, he's going to give me like some crazy, like serious response. No. Comes out with Arjun Kapoor, literally the Bollywood punching bag, and Sunny Leone, who I'm sure some of our, at least one listener right now is like, wait, I know that name. Mm-hmm. Where do I know it from?
Pervert.
Doesn't realize that she's also in
Pervert.
Also, she's in Bollywood and is going to Google this and be very, very surprised.
Yeah, you better have a heart attack. But I'll say this, though. Based on my answer, Arjun Kapoor is very, very good friends with the actual actor that I think you're referring to. Am I wrong? Am I correct? What am I?
You are correct, sir. You are correct.
Okay.
And who is that actor?
Ranveer Singh. And his boo, his wife. Deepika Padukone. Yes.
Thank you for that slinky style
I don't know what the hell that was. I need to be like an NBA. I need to be an NBA like PA announcer. That's what it felt like. Ben. Wallace. Yeah, I remember that really well.
Sounds like a bad G Unit intro. But yeah, that's exactly, you know, who I was thinking of. Ranveer and Deepika, pretty much for the last like 5 years, if you are even like remotely into Bollywood, and even if you're not, there's a good chance you heard about these two. They've pretty much taken over everything. They run everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get enough of these guys.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, they've come in a few movies together, not too many. Actually,
they're starting to do more. I think over the course of time, they're starting to do like way more. Yeah.
Yeah. But they are a real life couple. And I think now you're starting to see a whole new side. You know, we're in 2020. Society as a whole has come up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, education, I'd like to say, has become a little bit more prevalent even within Bollywood. And we're starting to see like two people just crushing it and then coming together. Like the true power couple has been embodied by these two, Deepika and Ranveer. And I think this is the first time we're really seeing that in Bollywood.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I know we've talked a lot about Bollywood. Surprise. Because that's what the podcast is about. But we've talked a lot about how Bollywood in particular had these types of norms. But throughout this podcast, I've actually been thinking about it. I mean, even in American culture and society, like we've seen, like remember we had like the Burt Reynolds, we had the John Waynes of the days. And then slowly we shift over to, you know, the Brad Pitts, the Leos, the, you know, the Denzels, these people that have a little bit more depth to them, and they're troubled, and people just love that, right? I mean, that was the whole, that's why The Outsiders was, I think, the hit that it was, because there were these bad boys that just oozed all the stuff and had these issues within them. And Shah Rukh, I think, was, you know, if there is a Desi version of Outsiders, Josh, then we would have, Shah Rukh would be leading it, right? And which he did in Josh. But now, I think we've seen this time and time again, in this day and age, with social media being so prevalent, the line between, you know, what is fiction and what is reality, or as in wrestling terminology, kayfabe and real, is there's almost no line, you know, and it's that's just how it is now. So we fall in love with these people because we are just so embedded in their everyday life and what they're actually doing, and that's, I think, part of the reason as to why Ranveer and Deepika, I think, work so well, you know, this generation as well.
I agree. I mean, they have crazy good on-screen chemistry, and you know, they've come in some movies where they weren't even the protagonist and antagonist with the, or the protagonist and love interest of each other. Like,
right,
for example, Padmavat is, you know, he's like lusting after her.
Good God.
And she's, you know, like a princess with somebody else. But
right,
Bajiram Mastani, Guru Kiras Leela Ram Leela. I mean, these are movies where they played opposite another, and the chemistry is very, very real on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it translates over to, you know, when their wedding came about, it was the kind of like the highlight of the decade. And everyone was, you know,
holy
following
crap
it very, very closely.
Yeah. So much so that, I mean, think about it. We live in an age now where, you know, if there's a proposal that happens between a couple, that's broadcasted, right? Which then the next couple looking at that is going to see that and be like, oh my God, did you see what he did for her? We got to updo that. And then the next couple does something even bigger and more crazy and grandeur, right? And I mean, there is this level of like sort of competition and people trying to like one up another, right? And I got to say that, and again, that's unfortunately one of the vices of our society. Obviously, there's many other benefits to social media, etc. I'm not going to go into that, though. But if you think about it in that context, Deepika and Ranveer are the it couple. Like, they are at the peak of what a woman should be in a relationship, what a man should be in a relationship, the cutest couple, etc., etc. So much so that you brought up their wedding, and there's another particular wedding that was also simultaneously happening. does that couple come to mind, MK?
Yeah, Arjun Kapoor and Sunny Leone.
Yes, you got it.
No, I think you're talking about the most overshadowed wedding in the history of all weddings. One Priyanka Chopra and Nicholas Jonas,
yes. So much so that they literally had the happiest day of their lives, and because Deepika and Ranveer had their wedding nearby them, their wedding just got completely dumped on. Like people were just like, ew, oh my God, who does that? Look at Deepika and Ranveer, what they're doing. It's like, it's like pretty sad to some degree.
everyone that I talked to around that time was like so enamored with everything that Deepika and Ranveer did, and just like shitting on everything that Priyanka and Nick did. Like, I think if it like happened a year apart and like we didn't have Deepika and Ranveer in our minds, maybe Priyanka's like wedding dress wouldn't have been so obnoxious. But of course, like, we were like, oh my God, who does she think she is? The Queen of England? Stupid. Ha. Like, yeah, you know, it was just like this whole bash fest on Priyanka, which, I mean, granted, it was way worse than Deepika and Ranveer's wedding. But,
yes,
you know, that's neither here nor there. We definitely took a, everyone was kind of on the side of Deepika and Ranveer and overshadowed. But I think you bring up a good point. You know, all this is to basically say that the lens is much brighter on everyone now. You know, we see their everything, and we see not only their on-screen interactions but their off-screen ones. And you know, one of the things that I want to bring up is I think we're finally in the age, and this is a really, really good thing, and it kind of shows how far Bollywood has come. You know, when you talked about like who was a dominant person in a relationship back in the days of Amitabh and Rekha,
right?
Hands down, you knew who it was.
Yeah,
you knew it was Amitabh. Yep. Right, you knew it was Amitabh who was calling the shots. You knew that, you know, he was the most dominant person in that relationship. But if I had to ask you who's more of a badass, Deepika or Ranveer, who would you actually say? Right? I mean, I feel like as someone who's watched them both kind of come up in the industry, Deepika is the more revered, more badass one. Everyone likes Ranveer. There's nothing wrong with him whatsoever. But, you know, we're finally at that age and finally at that time in society where a man doesn't have to be broken and need a woman to fix him.
Right.
A man, because that's not Ranveer. And a man doesn't need to be like super hyper machismo and have a subservient kind of wife, because Ranveer isn't that. He's always propping up Deepika and very proud of what she does. And we finally have, you know, a role model here for women. And they can see someone who's just a fucking badass, right?
Yeah,
like in every way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And
super
that's
brave,
awesome to me.
I mean, it's brave. I love the fact that she openly went on record to mention that she was depressed and she had double depression. And then she openly talked about it and talked about what she had to do to get herself out of it. And she was like, I'm doing all this great work and I'm a very successful actress, but at the same time, I go into my trailer room, and I'm just crying, and I don't know why. And she's trying to figure out why. So she was, that always struck a couple of chords for me, because I mean, who has ever talked about that? Like, especially in India, right? To come out and really discuss that, we're so tabooed as is to, oh no, we don't talk about this stuff. And yeah, props to Ranveer, man. Always, you know, hyping his girl up, hyping his woman up, you know, as she should be. And you know, there is an episode, I think, of Coffee with Karan. Of course, it always comes back to coffee.
Of course there is.
Of course. Where it's the one with him and Ranbir, and there's a part where he's actually talking about, I'm the best boyfriend. He's like, I can be empathetic. I can be, you know, emotional. I can be fun. I can be chichora. I can do this and that and whatnot. And yeah, he's kind of tooted his own horn, but I'm here for it. I mean, I find him highly entertaining, and sure, maybe he might be putting on an act and stuff here and there, but I think he's refreshing. I think he's refreshing because he just doesn't care about what people are going to just say, and he just lives his life, and he's entertaining as all hell, in my opinion. So
yeah, I think he's on most people's good books.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think you bring up a great point. You know, I think that as fun as he is and awesome as he is, he's not really, you know, he really doesn't have the same kind of influence that Deepika does. And it's great that she brought up mental health issues and stuff like that. You know, I think it was Jim Carrey who once said, I hope everyone one day gets rich so they can see that money isn't everything or money isn't the answer.
Rich and fame.
And, you know, I hope one day everyone achieves fame and riches, because then they'll see it's not the answer.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, it's great to see Bollywood kind of finally coming around to that, and someone like Deepika really coming out and saying it. So, yeah, I mean, I just think that couples have come a long way. I'm hoping this next generation, you know, I've got a sister who's 10 years younger, and she grew up more so watching these younger guys than the older people, like Shah Rukh and stuff. So I hope for them, you know, it's a better example, because I certainly think that, you know, as flawed as the 90s relationships were, they were a little bit better in my eyes than the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So, you know, progress is everything, you know? And it seems like Bollywood's definitely starting to make it.
Yeah. What if, like, what if relationship norms are like fashion, where, because, you know, fashion eventually repeats itself? Like, what if that just the next decade is like back to machismo, or I mean,
back
probably.
To macho, baby.
Let's
damn it, always
we'll
born
see.
In the wrong era.
I know, man. Let's see what happens. But no, I think MK, super well said, brother. Yeah, thank you all for listening. Like, subscribe, comment, follow us. We have plenty of new material coming your way, as you'll see. And
stay tuned, guys. Thanks so much again for everything you guys have done, and just listening. That means the world to us. And we're gonna keep working hard to bring you more stuff. So bye for now, but we'll be back soon.
Yeah, and please let us know, I mean, who are some of your favorite on-screen couples, whether they're on screen or off screen. I know we didn't mention a lot, but let us know. But for now, MK signing out. Deuces.
Bye.
Mwah.